to say such wonderful things as that? I'm not worthy of it, but I thank him for it. This Bible was given to me in Dayton, Ohio, September 20th, 56 years ago. I don't use it. I wore out Bibles after that, but somehow or another at home, I thought the Spirit, it's easy to think you're spiritual, but it doesn't take long to find out you're not when you get on a good steep grade. Now, if I don't preach tonight, I never blame anybody. Can you hear me talking, preachers? Don't get that pulpit weakness saying if they'd have backed me, I could have done something. You couldn't have done a bit better than you'd done. Your daddy called me his father in the gospel. He's been to glory for a long while. And that boy that's come up under his daddy's built one of the prettiest churches over there at Sand Springs. Earl Hofer's boy, Wayne Hofer. Yeah, it works, children. Don't think it don't work. It works. Yes, sir. I'm going to sing a little old chorus. This boy's got this guitar here. Thank you, my friend. He may have to, son. I may tear it up sometime. But that's all right, fine. You ever sing in the colored folks' key? E. And I have a lot of colored friends now. I don't want to leave it. I started preaching. Some of the first people I preached for were our, well, I don't guess, the white's the color, isn't it? I just don't catch up on some of this stuff. If black's a color and white's a color, why call them colored? Just well call me colored, amen. Yeah. I was preaching by the roadside under a tree. People passing along making say that everybody's lost out because they haven't. But I didn't know the Spirit of God from a hole in the ground. I was no more saved than the devil was, and I told a fellow that said he had a lot of it. I said, you ain't no more saved than the devil is. Got that stuff from Ralph Cox. Lost on East 29, old East G Street in Oklahoma City. Back when the little old buses wasn't big as nothing, and the colored folks had to, well, the black folks, white's the color. The black folks had to sit in the back of the bus. Why? I didn't know. I wasn't saved. All I was taught to was to try to do the best I could, and not took a whooping off of nobody. That's the way I was raised. But I got on the bus and I met a black grandma. Didn't have no seat. I got up and gave her my seat. I had a seat and I got her, give her mine. The white folks are, that's a color too. The colored folks, color white, looked at me and mad at me. Of course, I wasn't afraid of them. I was taught not to be afraid. That's in the days when Geronimo was still on the loose. I'm an old man, don't look it, do I? Geronimo had a lot of sense. I always tear things up everywhere I go. You couldn't hardly catch Geronimo. I thought the world of him. I thought we done the Indians wrong. I'm part Indian, that's where that black come from. I don't even die. And if you die and you're black, you feel bad right now, don't you? Leave it alone. God wants to have black hair and give it to you, wouldn't he? Geronimo fooled him. He walked backwards down the side of the creek. Which way would you have trailed him? Huh? That's the way they trailed him, too. That's what he done. He's smart. He ought to have run for president. That's what he ought to have done. He'd have made a better one than the last one we had. Now, I've got sense enough to know I don't want to get whipped. I preached as high as five times a day on the street corners on Saturday when everybody went to town and done the chores when they got home, old boys, old fellas. Listen to me. You fed the chickens and you milked the cows when you got home, and you went to town, stayed all day. Well, that's when everybody's at town. I preached high as seven times a day in seven different towns. Just pull in there and just get out there on the street corner. But you listen, good people, now to what I've got to say. We've been living in a mighty evil day. And you complain about your sweet little voice, but ain't about 25, 28, 30-year-old. You got to spray that throat down all the time, and you can't hardly sing, beg you till they give out, and you finally sang a little. Why, great God, God gave you a voice. You don't have to have a robe choir to help you sing. Turn it on! Have them praying, kneeling down, praying through on the street corner. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If they'll ask me to come, they don't have to ask you to come if God called you. Get on your going shoes, boy, and go preach it to them. Quit that whining around about, they wouldn't back me. Where's that at in the Bible? Well, they asked me to preach. That's it. If they'd amen me, who in the world said anything about I can see. Can you picture that fellow that come out of the seminary and began to preach and pull the seaweeds out of his hair and dusted sand off his knees and got out the edge of town and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And couldn't get an amen. I just willed to quit. God ain't going to give you things that folks want to say amen to. Quit that leaning on people. I'm an elder. You preachers, quit that leaning on that. Why don't you back me? Back you nothing. Where's that at in the Bible? Don't stand on that kind of stuff. Thank you, brother. Whew. I can see you now over there in foreign lands. I'm for you, and that boy's going so much. And others. Nothing right here going. But listen, don't lean. You may have to stop me. I'm just an old gray-headed or black-headed elder. There ain't nothing to that stuff. You singing good and look out there and some mother had a pain in her stomach and crown. I couldn't go on. She just making a face at me. She wasn't making a face at you. Let your imagination defeat your service and defeat your spirit and why forget it. If they'll call me, I'll go now, son. If that's the way you're traveling, you just well hang up your shingle. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If God moves on me to go, he done it. Before you was born. I was selling 10, 20, and 30 weight oil and 40 weight oil out of the same drum. I paid 18 cents a gallon for it. I could fella drive in and say, "You got any 30 weight oil for sale?" I said, "Sure, I got it." And I said, "Right here, 25 cents a quart. Give me a quart of it." Fella come in and say, "You got any 10 cent oil?" I said, "That's mighty cheap oil you talking about, but I've got it. Just paid 18 cents a gallon. I could sell it for 10 cents a quart, make pretty good profit. That's crooked, wasn't it?" God got that too. Some preachers I know, God got them, but they won't let him hold them. He wants them to stop that fibbing and lying. You ought to call somebody else, son. I didn't know I was going to do this, but I'm glad I'm doing it. Bunch of lying crooks. I didn't say all y'all was, but if that hit you, look out. Something's happening in your life. Got 40,000 socks back in the treasure, could pay the bill for several months and never take an offering, and whine and whimper and whine, and people find out they ain't going to give in your offering either. I ain't going to get the priest, looks like. I saw you. I heard you. I liked every bit of it. You didn't think I was listening, did you? I preached on them campuses and on the street corners. I know what that is. Whew. I felt like telling some of them poor would-be spineless wonders, they ain't going to whip me. I said, "You want me to lay down?" I was lost on East 29. I was lost. We'd clean your spark plugs and put them new bottoms on, off of old new plugs on old plugs and sell them old plugs for new plugs. We were just crooked. That's all there was to it. Mama said, "Don't you think y'all take sister to church?" I said, I guess so. Never did take her. I went down where an old man's driving a Model A Ford from where Wayne Rainey sang, "The wind blowing through the lonesome pine." That's where he come from. "I hear the wind blowing through the lonesome pine." Brother Moore, that ain't a Christian song. I'll tell you what. It's a Christian song besides what folks are singing now. Better turn your radio off, not just your television. Better turn your radio off. Cursing and everything else. I went on down to that old time meeting where that old man drove that Model A Ford and his brother sold eggs for a living, and a chicken got in the back seat and laid an egg while his business brother one day started a church and flew out the back window. He chased it all over the community saying, "Oh, God, help me catch it. He makes his living selling them eggs. That's poor people, ain't it?" That's where I went to church. And that man preached, and I've been on a lot of them old airplanes now. You ever swallow to open your ears on that dawn? To open your ears up there on that airplane away up there several times, swallow to make your ears open. You know what? I had to swallow to open my ears at sea level sitting there in that church that night. He had what we call the conviction of the Holy Ghost, great God. Cause outlaws to fall on the floor. Call crooked men to bring their guns in and lay them down. Derrick Watson, one of the meanest men in that country at one time. Otis Davis, my pastor, one of the meanest men that lived in Oklahoma. Chewed his own mule's ear off. He got so mad. That's mad, ain't it? I tell the truth. I dare you to try to prove I don't. I'm going to get to the Bible. You ain't got nothing to do. It's pouring down rain. And I'm 76. I had a heart attack. Had a bad heart attack. I've been nearly dead. I got bad. I told B, "I've been a good man." "Yeah, I have. I thank God for it." But I said, "I'm going to thank B," and I showed her. I fell flat on the floor, on my face, and skint my chin and head, and when it come to, I got so tickled at it, I didn't know what to do. Bless my heart, I fainted. Never have been through that before. B got down beside me and went to laughing. I said, "I told you it was going to, didn't it?" Did the kind of religion you got make your home so bad to live in you can't hardly smile at each other? Did it make a cranky old goat? I've heard fellas preach sanctification, didn't know nothing about it, and preach it so tight they'd get mad at you if you didn't get it like they say you had to have it. And there wasn't nothing in the Bible that said you had to have it like they said you had to get it.
And if you think you're going to leave here and go to heaven without any of it, you ain't got it like you got to get it. All right, fool with me. Tell me to prove it. You said you got to wait after you get saved to get sanctified. You ain't going to heaven with no sanctification. You are not going to heaven with no sanctification. And follow peace with all men and what? What is holiness? Is it sanctification? All right. You boys from college, is it? Here's one been to college, ain't you?
Holiness, sanctification, ain't it?
Same thing.
Pretty much. There's a proof of it. He knows. No, I didn't say you didn't need a bunch of it, and I didn't say you need to pray for more of it after you get saved, but I'm going to tell you what. Holiness! You're not going to heaven without any holiness. God didn't give his son to die on a cruel, rugged cross to get you saved and shed his blood and let you come sneaking in with no holiness in you. I don't say you don't need more. Go seek it for a second work. That's fine. But get it. You can't go to heaven without it. That's enough to take the amens out of the congregation right there. And just think, I've got about an hour-long message to go, and Joey Hyde told me to preach it. Didn't know a thing about getting saved. I'm sorry for these experiences. I'm sure we won't be encouraged. There's my meetings from 1954 to 1955. There's 14 meetings. I just held 14 meetings that year's all I held back then. And I'd preach on the streets five times a day on Saturday. One night at the house, I woke to see my father walking through the house, busting everything he could against the wall, breaking the chairs up, stout. I said, oh, what's that? I was unsaved. By daylight, the police had hauled my father off, and they'd put him in the insane asylum at Norman, Oklahoma. Things change for you, children. I tell you what, the old man's telling you, you better get saved tonight. You better not try to wait till later. I've helped bury some of them young people just your age. Next morning, Mama said, son, your brother's got sugar diabetes bad, and he can't drive the Model A anymore. We'll have to put two bricks on the Model A seat, and you'll have to drive me to Norman to the insane asylum to see your father. That wasn't easy. No, I wasn't saved. I drove that down there to see Dad, and he said, Lethe, what am I doing in here? What's happening? Listen to me, man. Listen to me, young people. He said, where am I at, Lethe? He said, you're in the insane asylum, Roy. Well, what in the world am I doing? Got out messing around. Listen, young people, you watch that old boy flirt with you like he does. Listen to me, boy. You watch that girl that flirts with you like she does. That caused my mother to have go up there where the harlots went to get shots for that bad venereal disease that my father had given her. He spent 6 months in that insane asylum. The next morning, thank God, he come back to his mind the next morning. They said, Roy, we've got to keep you here at least 6 months, and every time we shoot that spine, if you move just a little bit wrong, it'll paralyze you for life. And I'm just unloading to you what sin will do to you after a while if you mess with it. I wore shoes so big I had to slide to the end of them when I stopped. I'm glad I'm saved. Just think, you've got all this free. This don't cost nothing right here. I ain't even my message. We had to go to get free groceries and free clothes, and I run in britches I could move around in them. You can't even tell I'm moving this so big on me. Ralph, it's a little rough that night. And I said, I'll be a man someday like Gret Horton. I said, I'll be a man, can do about what I want to. And I could after a little while at that. But we went through some embarrassing situations all because of one little word, S-I-N. We sought God. I didn't really get saved right then, but we knew there's a God somewhere. God brought my father out, restored every brain cell, never lost a one. They said the most complete recovery in the history of the hospital is Roy Moore. I wasn't saved, but God knew it would one day. He gave me my father back. with a good. Don't mess with that sin. That'll bite you, boy. It'll get you bad. It'll get you bad. It'll get you bad. All right, we're going to get on into a little bit of the Bible preaching here pretty quick. But don't you wish you had God if you don't tonight? Get him. That Indian said to me no got him. Me get him, we want him like you got him. Get it, Indian. Whatever you are, that old Indian full blood said he couldn't talk English hard at all. Me no got him. Me get him. Me want him like you got him. I'm looking at a car salesman. I went in there years ago preaching for Heisel. Now when I found that fellow sitting right back there selling them cars, I said, what are you doing here? He said, I got to chase a rabbit down in Arkansas and run him plumb up here and just stayed. They're saved. Four or five of them sitting back there. Heisel's brother and other brother and kinfolk getting saved. Get saved. Listen to me, young person. When I was an old wicked boy in school, the only thing they threatened to expel me for was fighting. I fighted by accident and on purpose. I had the Indian arts and the devil in me, and that's a bad trio to have in you. My speech arts teacher called me in and said, Lester, someday you're going to do a special work. Think about that. Me, just a lost, wicked boy, didn't know about God. You're going to do a special work, and remember me when you do, will you? I went home. I said, what did she mean? I didn't know, but I finally got trying to get saved. Took me quite a while. Takes quite a while to clean up a dirty thing. Whew. But I finally got saved. And my old pastor that had been such an outlaw and made that moonshine shoot his own mule's ear off now. He had a high temper. He had a record down at the police station. I don't know how long, but it was there. Otis Davis was his name. Lay in the woods and sleep, hide from the law. Make the moonshine. But he got saved. And he went in, walked in the sheriff's office. The sheriff went for his gun. It's bad stuff, Don. He went for his gun. You hadn't ought to ask me something. I better go ahead and do all I can while I'm here because you ain't going to ask me to do this again.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, you probably will. Otis, he said, what are you doing in here? He said, come to give up. He'd been searching for him. He'd hide in the woods and hide. You've been messing with religion, Otis. Yeah, he said, yeah. He said, charge it dismissed. He said, not a thing against you. Stay with it, boy. You know what they done to Buster Wilson, one of the wickedest saints in Paducah, Kentucky. Show me where they'd fall off the end of Kentucky Avenue and drown in Kentucky River. He showed me where he knocked his last man in the head and robbed him. Had a big police record up there. Got saved. I met folks that prayed me to get sanctified. I said, I'll pray for you to get saved first. You ain't got no saved yet. Buster showed me where he knocked his last man in the head and robbed him. And got his money, went up this side and come up the other end of the street. And that old boy staggered out on the street. The blood run off his head and the police car stopped. He said, there's a man that robbed me. Said, I lied out of it and got out of it. Said, I was the one that done it. Mean as a snake. Got saved and got to bringing them outlaws down our church and got them saved, give them beds to sleep in the basement and fed them. And one day got a call from the police department. Come up here, Preacher Wilson. Buster went in there and said, here's your record. Here's everything we've ever had on you. Here's the whole thing. You're no longer on record in the city of Paducah. Woo! Wish I felt like running. I could run like a deer when I was a boy. I'm getting to my message. Aren't you glad? Have you got it? If you don't know, you don't got it. I beg your pardon, sir. You don't have it. I had an old teacher very honest with me. She said, sir, I beg to dispute with your dishonest word. And she was right every time she said it to me. Born again. What's that mean? New creature. So I got to church. And I thought I ought to do something for the Lord, young people. Are you young people listening? How many young people listen to me? Well, surely, where's the rest of them at? Let's see all the young people's hand that's listening. If you lost your hearing? Young people, I wanted to do something for the Lord. so bad I didn't know what to do. They give me, and I thought it was so wonderful, the janitor's job. Whoo, I said, what a blessing. Just like getting to be president to me now. In the house of God, they're going to let me sweep it. I didn't think about wanting any pay for it, just to think they'd let me sweep it. I swept it and pushed all the pews so close together till there's room for four, five, six more on each side at the back of the building. And the pastor said, who's been a mess in this church? First trial I had. I kept that job till the pastor was working for Phillips Petroleum. Couldn't be there on Wednesday night. What am I going to do? He said. And by that time, I'd begin to testify a little, you know, and he said, son, you reckon you could open a service up on Wednesday night and along with the grown folks and help me out here while I get through this 3 or 4 weeks of what I've got to work? Yeah, so I become the assistant pastor. And then they needed a young people's leader, and would you know they give me the privilege to be the young people's leader, assistant pastor and janitor. Not making a dime. I felt like a millionaire, young people. And would you know they needed a Sunday school superintendent? I had a Model A Ford. I'd load the back thing full, open the back of it, and load it, and load everything I could, and ride on the fenders, bring as many of them as I could. They let me have the superintendent's job. And then my Sunday school secretary backslid, and they give me that job. I felt as light as a feather and frizz bird. Had all them jobs cornered at one time and working 8 and 10 hours a day, 6 days a week in the service station. Now, you pitying yourself because you have to help sweep the church. You ain't gonna last as long as a paper shirt and a verified. You're gonna melt. The sun will burn you down. I wish God would help me put a little spizzer into some of you and quit that whining around because you done more than somebody else did and wish you could do their job and yours too. My Sunday school secretary got to laying up with the woman he wasn't married to, and because I've always preached that as wide open adultery and sin and filth, and God don't like it. So we fired him. Well, he fired himself. And I got that job all at one time. We wasn't running but 70 and 80 in Sunday school. No load to it. You'd quit griping about what a load you're carrying. You'd get in shape to carry a load. Can't you see old Joe Lewis in my young? He was here. Had the fastest left that a fighter ever had, Joe Lewis did. Hit you 4 or 5 times before he found out where he's even at. Oh, yeah. He didn't have to have one hand to win a fight, and that's his left jab. Fastest left jab there ever was. But you know what? If we don't get a little vision for God, get a little burden for God's work, and quit that whining around, we ain't going to have no reward. I know you teaching them children up there to have a vision and a burden that gets something done. Is your middle name Whino? Lord, you ought to get an umbrella and run around with me and hold it over my head. If you love me, you would. I would not. Go get you one. Hold it over your own head or come without it or use newspaper like we used to. I went when it was so cold you couldn't hardly live to preach this, and I'm not bragging. I walked in. I'm going to have to pray. I may get to the Bible. What? These folks, I believe, are going to get an experience like I've never had a congregation get. I'm going to tell experiences for an hour and then preach for 2 hours out of the Bible. Well, I'd go, Brother Moore, but it seemed like the Lord won't work for me. He will do it. He is doing it now. Driving to Arkansas. No, it wasn't Subiaco. No, but anyhow, I'll tell you a minute. I'd drive through Arkansas, Arkadelphia. Cyclone like the boat away. I needed a new car. I wore the one I had out for $100,000 on. And I pulled in the new car agency and got out walking through the door. Old boy said, tell you what you are. Pretty well dressed, sitting up for a desk. That's what am I? Said, you a preacher. Tell you what kind you are. I said, well, what am I? He said, a holiness preacher. What do you want? I said, that car sitting on the showroom on the floor. Red and white, 1955 V8 Oldsmobile, good as ever made. Said, preacher, I'm going to make your bargain. Now, don't start that foolishness. I've had all I don't want to hear. I know what the cost of that thing is, and I know what your markup is in it. I know what you make on it. Isn't that a sight? A preacher had that much sense. Listen, brother, preacher, brother, and pastor, brother, have you ever had anybody treat you like you didn't know how to take a drink of water without somebody showing you? Just aggravates the snot out of me nearly for people. Act like I'm a welder, a mechanic, and a machinist. What can...
A builder. Say your name, son.
Moore.
One of the smartest, best builders in the United States is that fella sitting right there. He can build anything you want to, as high as you want, as wide as you want it, and make it work. Good men of God are everything but dummies. Well, I mean, they're not a dummy. Now, I said, son, I'll make your bargain. Forget it, I said. I know how much markup there is in it. If you're interested in selling to me, I'm interested in buying. I'll pay you, and I'll take the car. He said, I'm going to do it. I said, I see you go. And he got down there to dirt cheap. He said, the only thing I ask of you is sell me a car. All I'm telling these for is to help our young people and our old. And I know by the sound of the rain we can't go out, so I'm going to get to preach maybe for 3 or 4 hours. He said, I'll sell it to you right, and I saw he was, and he said, sell me a car. I said, I will watch the Lord work. I drove 30 miles to Glenwood, Arkansas, where Wayne Dillard came from. I was holding my meat. Next morning, I drove to the post office, and that beautiful red and white. Are you against two cone colors? I don't care if you are. The Bible don't teach that. No, you give you no authority to preach about that. Not a bit. Don't even preach against women's short hair. Unless you know what you're doing. That woman may have had cancer and lost that hair because of a cancer. It may not be because she's a cutting it. You got to be careful what your eyes see. Pray for God to have your wisdom enough to know how to deal with what you saw. Fellow drove up beside me and said, where'd you get that new car? I said, Arkadelphia. He said, I love it. I love the color. He said, got any more? He said, he got one more. Go over there and tell him, preacher, L.D. Moore sent you did and bought the car. You come in Oklahoma, you'll see a multimillionaire's name all over town on everything nearly. Jackie Cooper. That's right, Steve. Jackie Cooper. 1955, I drove into Jackie Cooper. I said, I wore my car out, son. He's selling old and old beard for daddy then. He wasn't the multimillionaire he is now. And that car deal over, I knows about Jackie Cooper. He is selling for his daddy. I said, Jackie, I found his Jackie. I said, I want to buy a new Oldsmobile, 58. He said, I'll make it right. I've heard all that stuff I need to hear. I just want you to get truth on the line and sell me one right. He said, I will if you'll sell me a car. Now, watch the Lord work. This sounds windy, son. You got to watch. I will sell you a car if you will sell that right. I said, well, and he sold to me. I drove home, met the county commissioner. He said, L.D., my brother's here from Oregon, and he's going over Chickasha to buy the new Olds. I said, would he like to have a bargain? I said, would he like to have a bargain? He said, well, he would. Well, I said, I can get him one. And I found the figures out. Sure enough, I could get him one $400 cheaper. Just went and told him. He drove over there and got it. Does the Lord work or not now? I haven't even got to my text. Where is it at here? I've got a text somewhere. That's it. That's it right there. I found it. I found that text right there.
I found it right here in the Bible. I'll give you a bunch of things tonight because I felt like maybe I wouldn't see you for a long while. And so I thought maybe I ought to try to give you a few things that you might need. And I knew they dealt with your personal experiences. Did I tell you that I'd been a preaching there 58 years there? I have a thought in my mind. I think I will deal with it a little while. I'll try not to worry you too long because I've testified already really longer than I need to. One more step. You're closer to it than you think. You're closer to it than you ever imagined. You're closer to it. One more step. Just one step more. Somewhere right now, somebody's taking it, and you may take it before you get out of here. You may take it yourself. One step more. Notice in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, the book of Samuel, 20 and 1. I'm not going to talk much longer here tonight, but perhaps I'll say something that you really need. Maybe I'll touch something that will help you. But you're going to get down to that last step. Dad, was it Mom's? Mom and Dad were together 908 Southeast 29, Oklahoma City. You can't go out and eat nothing. See, I got you. And Dad got up to take a step. He fell on the floor, and Mama cried and called me. And I went. Daddy was gone. I don't know when you'll take it, and you don't either. I didn't either when I come off that house and fell on the front porch and turned over on my back so I wouldn't tear my face up. I had sense enough when I was going down to flip and fall to my back, and then I was out of it. And then after a while, I came to a little, and Sis was there. She done lived far away at my boy's house where I was at. Been up on the roof working. And they rushed me to the hospital. They run in and laid me on a bed. And they started trying to work on when I heard my girl cry, quick, do something. She could tell I was dying. And they did. They shot something in me, and I lived. And that close, they cut me open, worked on my heart a little. Now the years have come and gone, and I'm going on for Lord, see. And God has helped me. But one step was all there was between me and eternity. 1 Samuel 20 and 1. David fled from Naboth in Ramah. And came and said unto Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? He said unto him, God forbid that thou shalt die. Thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will shoot me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. And that's my simple little thought tonight for preaching. I probably won't go long, but if I do, I'll try not to make any excuse about it. I could have done better if I had more time. If it'd back me, I could do it. Don't fall into that, boys. Get out of that stuff. That ain't scripture. John, preach it. Jonah, preach it. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What did he say? He said 40 days, it's going to be overthrown. And he said, I got to change text down to the next corner because I won't be popular amongst the people if I just repeat all the time. They'll say I'm not well read, and I don't know what I'm talking about to start with. Got down there, God said, preach the same thing. I wish I'd have preached the same thing every night for 40 nights straight in some meetings I've held. People got saved on that and never got saved after that. I wish I'd have preached the same thing every night. But I'm not saying you're not smart because you study and read. You better study and read. You won't know what you're talking about, and the devil will show you after a while, you don't. But down the next corner, they gathered up to hear this man that came from the whale's belly. He learned more in there about God than people do in colleges some places.
And he, yet, party, that reminds me of preaching on the street corner. I preached till the drunks got on the knees and prayed. Preached till he backed out in the streets and the police come and pushed him back toward the curb. I never have preached like that preacher did up there in Colorado that preached on the street some, and Santa Claus, well, Christmas come and he dressed up like Santa Claus and he got out on the street corner, the holiness preacher up there, and was playing Santa Claus there. And I was staying with the general superintendent over the Western Slope of the state of Colorado with the Pentecost Holiness Church, never joined an organization for life. And that's, I wrote to my first camp meeting with Oral Robertson, his father. Do you ever hear of him? And this was the general superintendent on 4,000 acres of land, and all the men around it. He's pretty well off. Jim Rogers. He said, we've had Oral on the carpet, Brother Moore, but he's big enough to buy us nearly, and he won't stay with our doctrine and what we teach, so we just have to turn him loose. You don't want me to say that? And you would flock down there to hear him, and you'll give money to him, and you'll send money to him, but you don't want me to say nothing? You just well send the dogs after me. Amen. Deceive our people, take their money. Said we tried our best to straighten him out, Brother Moore, but he got big enough to buy us. We just had to turn him loose. That was Pentecost Holiness, man of God. I'm just preaching on one more step. You're close to it tonight. Some of you right in here are just like David. There's just a step between me and death. Just a step. You better get ready if you're not ready. I'm honest with you, children. This is no joke. You won't do it. I've had a lot of funerals myself. I cried with every funeral we ever had. But you're going to step out of here. You're stepping on out of here. You're stepping on out of here. Amen. Back to Colorado. Well, I will tell you. I preached against Santa Claus when I don't like to do it around Christmas time. Not the gifts, but the hypocrisy. And I said, who was that big old man sitting right there tonight, Jim, that sat there in the service, said, Santa Claus? I said, what have I done? He said, one of my great preachers, one of the biggest preachers I've got, stood right down on the street corner last Christmas and gave out gifts and wore a Santa Claus suit. I said, I'll declare. He said, you've ruined me, LD. You blowed the bottom come out of my boat and laughing all the time. It's terrible. When our holiness preachers has to drift away from what God called them to do. Oh, don't get mad. Don't charge it. This young man is good enough to ask me to preach, but a lot of our so-called holiness preachers quit dying the hair and cutting it like a woman, twisting like a woman, trying to act like a woman. We need some men, bless God, hallelujah. Little old weakling come down in Oklahoma, my daughter-in-law's house, cooked her a meal. I don't like that. I said, I just don't ever eat nothing like that. I said, I can't stand that either. If you got any of them things you can stick in the end of that corn cob,
I got where I could learn to use a nail, you know, a 16-penny nail, but he had that at her table. I wouldn't eat the corn because he didn't have them things to go in. I said, you turn him over to me, I'll teach him something about things to eat and how to eat them. I can pull that stuff off that cob. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We just got to step what we're going to do with what we got left. You subtract, I'm not, it's his fault, but you subtract from a lot of our ministers in America what gospel they preach, and you don't have anything. There ain't nothing to subtract. They ain't preaching the gospel. Lord, don't want me to preach against clothes. You won't have to, and some folks ain't got none on. The very idea to think that God had sent a man from a whale's belly to warn Nineveh to repent and get saved and let us run around not say nothing, and women getting in and out of cars nearly naked, you have to turn your head to keep from seeing everything that's on her body. Nearly. Let's get back to something. Glory to God. Get back to something. You don't have to copycat me. You don't have to say everything I said, but I'm going to tell you what. When you get out there on that campus and you go to tell them they're all right, you know you ain't going to tell them that. They ain't all right. They don't dress right. They don't act right. They don't talk right.
They need to be told about it. I tell them. Why don't you get acquainted with him? Now, I speak as a fool, but I'm 76 years old now. And I told you, boy, I had 17 new cars and a bunch of old ones. Now, I've got more doors open than I can get to, and I thank God, son, for you asking me to preach here. I appreciate it. It don't stop you. It don't ruin you. What makes it bad is act silly and not preach the Bible. Don't have any Bible but what you're talking about. Have some scripture that's gospel, what you're preaching. Amen? I had to swallow to open my ears at sea level when that old man from Arkansas got out there and preached the Bible to me. Whoop! I said, my God, have mercy. What in the world is this? I've never heard nothing, never been to it, never known nothing about it. Whoop, he said, and I said, my God, have mercy. Somebody's told him about me selling that stuff out of that drum there. Somebody's told him about me cleaning them used spark plugs and putting them new cardboard ends on them old plugs and selling them for brand new, and somebody's told him. God knows. I wish I had a real long message for you tonight. I wish I wasn't so wore out. Preaching this 57 years has just ruined me. Woo! What the Marines need, like I told you, is a few good men. And that's what God needs. I hope I can challenge you tonight, young people. I was 17 when I started. I didn't know nothing. I never even went to seminary. I went to cemetery. I spent most of my time in my meetings in the cemetery. Dead folk don't bother you. Try it, preachers. Find your cemetery and get in there. You'll get away from everybody. Dead folk won't bother. I sat there till the rabbits played around my feet and the squirrels come down and found out I was a friend. Trying to get something. You know one of the best texts I ever got? Off of a cold gray marble slab. Gone but not lost. Gone but not lost. I preached that. I ain't preached that in years, but that's good. Gone but not lost. I've been to some caskets where I could easily say that. Gone but not lost. Gone but not lost. I'm going to skip a whole bunch of my preaching course. It's going to get too long. I can see that now. That's when you see me staggering around. That's why Revelation 4:1 said, come up hither. Revelation 11:12 said, come up hither. Revelation 17:1 said, come up hither. Revelation 21:4 said, come up hither. After a while, you're going to take your last step, one more step, and come up hither. Better place. Who's up there? James and John, the sons of thunder, will be there. We shall all be filled with wonder over there. Every race and every tribe will be there, as John described, standing by the river side over there. I'll be there, I'll be there, and the glory of his kingdom I shall share. Where the golden harps are played and the saints' reward is paid in a spotless robe arrayed, I'll be there. There with the son of the widow of Nain, he'll be raised to live again. Doubting Thomas won't complain over there. There'll be no one there to pout when we all begin to shout. There'll be none to put us out over there. Well, I'll be there, I'll be there, and the glory of his kingdom I shall share. Well, the saints' reward is paid in a spotless robe arrayed. Think about it. He'll be the son of the widow of Nain. He'll be raised to live again. Doubting Thomas won't complain over there. Woo! Over there. We had a copy of it here now. It's got about 12 verses, I guess. Over there. Did it say there'll be fruits on living trees over there? In a land free from disease over there. There'll be no one there to pout when we all begin to shout. There'll be none to put us out over there. Don't you want to go to that land? Whew. There in that country where they never die, you meet the man that met the woman at the well.
Now, I'm not trying to line any preachers out, but according to the way some of them preach, he never got saved.
Go call your husband. Ain't got no husband. I said that right. The one you got now is not your husband. But you know what he offered her? Now, here's where some holiness preacher get off me. I may be a little crooked, not know what most folk today is, don't admit it. But he offered it to her, son. If you'd ask me how to give it to you, right? Well, you told me anything about your men. Before you told me anything, first and number one, God saves any kind that'll come to him. You cannot tell a man that he can't be saved because he got five wives. That ain't where we start. That's not where we start. If you'd have asked a drink of me, I would have given it to you. You just didn't ask. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Did you ask? How long did you hunt your pocketbook, B, when you lost it? B is my wife's name. Most beautiful woman in all the whole world. How long did you hunt your lost knife, boy? How long did you hunt your billfold like lost your mind over that, didn't you, Dad? She knew you had $1 there and she didn't know about it, didn't you, huh? And you like lost out over that, but you finally found it. And you said, I'm so sorry I found this thing. No. Everybody rejoice with me. I found that which I lost. Why don't you come to God and let him help you find something? It'll really make you happy. Really make you shout. I told you, Otis, my pastor's a mean man. Shoot his own mules there off. He is a high temper. Fella run into him uptown. He's going to cuss Otis out. If I'd have been there, I'd have hollered, hold it, don't say a word. Otis will kill you. Baptize you in your own blood. Fella bumped into Otis and tried to give him some mouth. Otis never did talk back. The window's down. This one went through the window on him. Just like a growling dog, a biting dog. I mean, Otis was bad, bad, bad. Mean, mean. He liked Dirt Watson, one of the greatest preachers we had in Oklahoma. Did you know Dirt? How many ever met Dirt Watson? He was one of the greatest preachers we had one time in Oklahoma. Stole and robbed and stole. You didn't know about hobbling a horse, did you? How many ever hobbled a horse? Anybody know about hobbling a horse? Hey, we got some old timers there. He'd rob a place over and steal off of them and rob banks and ride in the woods, deep woods. They didn't have airplanes like now, surveillance like they got now. Hobble a little horse and lay in there for 3 days and nights, had a little stuff to eat in the saddlebag, hiding, cooling things down before it showed up anywhere anymore. One day he walked in to the sheriff's office. He went for his gun. What are you doing in here, buddy? He knew him. He said, come to give up. He said, you've been messing with religion? He asked you. I said, how? Go on. Said, you don't owe us nothing. I told you, that preaching in Paducah showed me where he knocked his last man in the head and robbed him. He got saved. Got saved. He got so many of them old drunks and sots saved down there in that church, saved down the basement, sleeping in them rooms till they sobered up and get them saved. Till one day the police department called him and said, Buster Wilson, come in here. He went in. They handed him his records. You're no longer on record in the city of Paducah as being an outlaw. You've got saved and done so much good, you're no longer in our records. We have no record of you. Yeah. Get saved! Yeah. Well, I just never did believe in shouting. You will if you get saved. Yeah. You shout. Let me tell you, Mother. If that old drinking boy, this is drinking, you can't do a thing with him. Your dad can't either. If he'd come in the door and say, Mama, got religion, you might not ever shout at any mama. You may never had it, but you fixing to get it. If he really tells you he's got right with God and he got straightened up, well, I know a mama's going to do a little waltzing. We can't dismiss. It's raining. Can't turn you out into it. I'm just going to give it up. I've just got too much time. I thought I was going to have to preach a long time, and I just got so many scriptures here I wanted to read, and I'm trying to get out of reading them and trying to act like I'm trying to stop when I'm really not really stopping that bad. Aren't you glad you're saved? Boy, you called to preach.
you feel like God's called you to preach? We preached on the streets seven times, seven towns a day, son. Right out there where you're working, we preach seven times a day. Seven different towns. Police had to come out and preach them back out of the middle of the street, keep them getting run into. God is real. God is real. The God you know hasn't treated you that good, come on, get an altar tonight now. Let's get prayed through. You know what we're missing in some of our altars now? Sanctification. You heard where I started. I started when they start. Because it is a setting apart. And it is a separation. It's more than that. I know it's more than that. But why don't you quit trying to start at the top and start at the bottom? I'm ashamed. Ever said I cussed accidentally on purpose and in between before I got saved. Hot-headedest black-looking thing you ever seen. Amen. I had crooked teeth, children. I'd smile and my lip be tight on my upper teeth. I pastored church when I was in that shape before I ever got my mouth fixed. Preachers, we go through trials, but you got to be willing just to step between you and the end of it. Let's make a good record. Yeah. One of my saints, I went to the house one day, and the little girl said, Mama, if I don't be careful how I do, I'll have buck teeth like Brother Moore, won't I? 3 years old. I said, Doreen? Doreen, that was her name, Sister Doreen. You've been talking. I like to kill her. That tickled me. You believe God works? Would you like to have the Lord deal with you? I stood in my Sunday school room, just an experience or two. You don't know whether real or not. Go home and wonder about it. I stood in the sun. I prayed for one gift for 20 years, and I never told anybody in the world what it was, and you can't guess it tonight either. Spirit dealt with me as I stood beside one of my deacons. He's a great builder. I said, O.D., the Spirit has just spoke to me to tell you to do what you have on your mind. Would you like to try that? If you don't know whether that's of God or not, you're in a bad shape. Say that to anybody. Spirit moved upon me, said, tell him to do what he's got on his mind. Oh, you could be in world trouble. Well, you would be if it wasn't the Lord. But it was the Lord. I knew who told me. He said, okay, L.D., never told me what I was going to do. The years come and went. One day he said, L.D., see them four plexes right there, four plexes, rows of four plexes, not duplexes or triplexes, but four plexes. You know what you told me in that Sunday school room that morning? That's what I had in mind, to buy truckloads of lumber, loads of brick, have the brick layers out, and he had the property, and build them four plexes. They've kept me alive through the years. They paid my bill for me, and they're still doing it, and they're still sitting there. Wouldn't you like to have a little something from God that might help you in your everyday life, in your everyday experiences? We forgot about the gifts sometimes in our churches, and that's why we don't have any more from heaven than we do. We don't have the gifts that God sends from heaven to bring the messages heaven wants us to hear. Amen? You believe in that? That's not the only thing that happened with that. Years through the years, the one gift that I prayed for a long, long time for that I felt like I needed, and God gave it to me. My wife, I've never told a guest till you give out. You run across it probably. It's not for sale. It's not for rent. I hardly ever tell this. But God knows all about you tonight. He knows what you thought today. And sometimes I have become embarrassed because I told them what they did, and they wanted to whip me because somebody had been talking, and I had been talking, and somebody ratted on them. You know how you felt that morning when you sat down in that cafe in Sand Springs when you're as mean as a snake. And you had this boy had more boldness than anybody I nearly know of when he was lost. His daddy had boldness like that. The police chased him all around Sand Springs trying to catch him that night and couldn't catch him. And the next day going to work, he sat down in the police car sitting down at the cafe, and he walks in and sat down beside him and said, you ever chase anybody you can't catch? Nerve of a baboon. Man. He done that. I'd have melted when I seen him sitting in there and run from a car, and he'd arrested me for running in. And he goes in and sat down there and said, you ever chase anybody you couldn't catch? He couldn't catch you in that very night before. Now what do you need from the Lord tonight? I know people that had bad headaches. Got prayed for 15 years ago and ain't never had another one. You got them? Give God a chance. Well, I got prayed for. You did. How'd you feel? Well, I felt a funny sensation. Seemed like come running away. And I really felt like dancing, but I wouldn't think about dancing. I've never danced. You ain't going to get rid of that either. If God's Spirit moved on you to get out there and cut a rusty, and you're thinking more about what they're going to say about that than obeying God, you ain't going to get it either. Roger, if you just come pulled up on, don't let the Spirit use you no more. I don't believe that's so, but would you shout a little if he moved on you too? He ain't a moving on to shout right now, but we need to, don't we? Children, you ain't going to get something from God's table if you don't obey God. Huh? Well, you can't even fool an old man that's a preacher. If he stays enough close to God, you can't even fool him. I've got down to pray with folks and just wore us out, and I just quit. Quit praying. Prayed too long already. Let's go get an ice cream cone. Get me down there, that chronic seeker that wouldn't obey God if he knocked them over with a snowball and try to get me to lay down there half the night and whine around them and go say, well, it didn't got a little touch. They want attention. They can go get that from a chiropractor. I'm not practicing medicine. But if you want something from God, you've got to give up to God. Let God get a hold of you. Let the Spirit. I'm telling you, you look at a miracle here tonight. I've been a sick man. And I wasn't supposed to be able to talk over 15, 20 minutes tonight. Now I think I've talked 25 minutes already. Well, my discernment tells me that you say you talked a lot longer than that, LD, but you don't understand. Here's these boys from way back up going to come a long way to hear something, and they got to hear something. They can't just come down here and not hear nothing. Glory to God, high soul. That's your kinfolks I'm talking about back there. Where's the rest of them? This rest of them here? This three, the trio? I know there's another in here, the ugliest one of them. We won't last long with a paper shirt and a bear fight if we don't pray for God to give us a backbone like a sawlog. Amen? Wayne Dillard's doctoring his old cows down in Arkansas and putting creosote dip in them old sores for them worms. That's what you put in there. You smear that in there, it won't come out. And she can't kick that out of that sore, and it'll kill them worms. Wayne was the doctor in that old cow, and she kicked her leg. Kick creosote dip right in his eyeball. If you rub it, no, you can't rub it, son. Don't do that. Don't rub it. Don't rub that eye. We didn't know nothing what to do. Called all the saints. Now, I know when you call all of them, you get a gripe or two, a doubter or two, and a fusser or two, and a discusser or two, and a debater or two, but you usually get a sweet potato in a bunch somewhere. Got them all down there praying for him. I don't know which one done it. That's what we got mixed up on. See who give the glory to. We don't need to get on that. Somebody touch God. Wayne knowed better than touch that eyeball. But when the power of God come on and he said glory to God and wiped it out on his finger, every bit of it come out, went right on, drove 700 miles the next day. Old man then. I ain't wealthy, but feel like a glow.